Now, a debate took place at Oxford Union last night under the motion, meat eating will be a thing of the past by the year 2100. The motion was defeated, but there are many people out there who believe that this will be a reality in the future. And one of those joins me now to discuss this. She's Sandra Higgins, director of the Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary and the creator of the world's largest vegan advertising campaign, Go Vegan World. Sandra, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Were you somewhat disappointed that the motion wasn't carried last night that meat eating was going to be a thing of the past?
Well, you see, the focus on meat eating tends to miss the point anyway. And the time frame given is also very unrealistic. What we need to do is realise that humans are just one of many billions of other species on the face of this earth. They all have a right to live here, and we don't have a right to use them. Either their bodies for meat, we don't have a right to use them for dairy or eggs, for any kind of food. We don't have a right to wear their skin or their wool. We don't have a right to hunt them and use them in entertainment. We don't have a right to use them for anything at all, and we have no need to.
But I suppose that there is a food chain, there is a hierarchy of animals on this planet, and we compete with each other. So a couple of things. For example, does a lion have a right to eat a zebra? I certainly don't think a lion would ever question that it shouldn't eat a zebra because it doesn't think, which is one of the issues about the food chain.
Sorry, did you say that they don't think?
Yes, I did actually.
Oh no, other animals have brains.
They do,
yeah.
But they don't have language, and to actually have higher brain function and to think logically or those types of things, you need language, and you don't have language as an animal.
Yes, other animals do have language, and they're able to express it, and what they're able to express very well
is feelings.
That we don't have a right to use them. But let me just backtrack a little bit. It doesn't make any rational sense to compare a human to a lion, because a lion is carnivore. Humans are not carnivores. We have a choice in how we live, and all the major world dietetics associations are in agreement that 100% plant diet, which is an aspect of the social justice issue of veganism, is nutritionally adequate and prevents most of the diseases that we're suffering. People are suffering so badly and dying prematurely from diseases that can be prevented. And because we have no need to use the bodies or the lives of other animals, it's our own behaviour that we need to focus on.
Yeah.
Talking about lions as an issue is a distraction, because we're uncomfortable, because we know that using other animals directly conflicts with the values of non-violence that we all claim to have.
I don't think they do, and I totally accept your health-based point that plant-based diets are the healthiest form of diet and all that kind of stuff, and we aren't carnivores, you're right, but we are omnivores. We're the same as rats or pigs, and you know, there's lots of animals that are omnivores, and they're lucky animals because they can choose food from both the plant environment or from the animal-based environment.
They're
able to eat lots of things, and we're designed to do that.
We don't have to use other animals, and it's a social justice issue, because the use of them unnecessarily harms them. If we did to cats and dogs what we do to chickens, pigs, rats in laboratories, we would call ourselves psychopaths and criminals.
Well, okay. Now, Sandra, the thing about the pigs and the chickens is they wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be breeding them. Those chickens and pigs. No, they wouldn't.
We wouldn't be breeding them. That's the aim of a vegan world, is we stop unnecessarily breeding them.
So they won't have any lives at all. You're happy that the thousands of pigs won't ever live, and thousands of cows won't ever live.
They won't live. I'm very glad that you're expressing an interest in them, but your interest is misplaced if you think that giving them a life of torture and death in a slaughterhouse that you would not vote to, you would not vote to die in yourself, is an interest in their life. That's not being interested in them.
Let's be very clear about that. That is
being interested in perpetrating unnecessary violence on them.
Let's talk about sheep, because Ireland has a big sheep and lamb industry, for example, and they don't live lives of torture. In fact, they live on hillsides and they graze all day. They die at the end of that and they are eaten, but all animals die. Are you suggesting it would be better that we didn't have them in the first place? I can't fathom why that would be.
Because you don't have a right to use them. They're not your property.
They're the property of farmers. Their property.
They're their legal property, but they're not, morally, we have no right to use them.
Ah, okay.
So let me just explain to you. These were wild animals.
Yeah.
10,000 years ago, we captured them and domesticated them.
We did.
We have selectively altered their bodies in ways that caused them great suffering. So, you know, you have this idea that you're looking at this pastoral setting of happy sheep in a field. After a few months, their babies are taken from them to be murdered. Did you ever hear them crying?
Are we talking about the Silence of the Lambs type of crying?
I'm not talking about a film like Silence of the Lambs. Have you ever lived in a rural area and heard the crying of cows or sheep whose babies were taken from them? Not fiction, reality.
No, not really. I can't say I have.
Well, it's painful because they have the same feelings as us because they have a brain and a central nervous system.
We are taking their babies
from them to put them into slaughterhouses to kill them for something that we don't need.
Do you accept, Sandra, that how you and I are arguing now and debating and talking is because we're using higher brain function, we're using abstract thinking, and we can only do that with the use of complex vocabulary and language. Animals simply don't have that.
It does not matter a damn. We know that they are sentient. We know that when we hurt them, they release pain receptors and they feel pain the same as we do.
I agree they should be killed humanely.
Let me finish because you've asked me a question. We know that they have an interest in living their own lives. We know that it is morally objectionable and repugnant.
I don't find it objectionable or repugnant.
Well, I'm sorry that you're missing that.
But you see, this is the thing.
Would you find it morally repugnant to slaughter a dog and eat them?
I wouldn't if somebody was starving, no. Although I wouldn't.
But we're not starving. In fact, world hunger is caused by the very same oppression that the use of other animals is caused by. And recycling, it's 10 to 15 times more plants through the bodies of other animals to get a very small amount of protein and calories from their bodies is extremely wasteful. We would have a much wealthier, healthier world if we didn't use them.
I do accept, okay, I totally accept that the farming of animals contributes to climate change. I totally accept that a plant-based diet is healthier. I also accept entirely that you're entitled to your views. But you see, my feeling of things is this, is that what is morally acceptable and morally repugnant is actually relative. And what you may think is morally repugnant is not what everybody will think is morally repugnant.
Well,
and for me, I don't consider...
Unless they have a psychological problem, are born into this world unhappy to put a knife through the neck of a chicken or a cow. No baby would do that.
Well, babies wouldn't be able to lift a knife, Sandra, and that's kind of an abstract argument again because you're using your higher brain function.
No baby would want to kill or hurt another animal.
I would suggest even a young child that was hungry would eat and kill if it had to, a rabbit or a chicken or whatever it had to do, because we've done...
You know something? I'm a psychologist. Bring me that child. You bring me that child.
Sandra, most people eat meat.
The only children who harm other animals are children who go on to develop very serious,
Calm down and back up the truck for one second, because here's the thing. People don't kill animals sadistically when they're killing them for food. It's not a sadistic thing when a farmer kills a cow. He's not psychologically disturbed. The farmer isn't.
See,
the butcher who works in a butcher or an abattoir.
But butchers and abattoir
workers aren't psychopaths. That's a nonsense.
There's a process of desensitization
where
the farmers send their animals to slaughterhouses and they do not witness the slaughter. This killing doesn't have to be sadistic. The killing is unnecessary and unjust. And I don't know why you've brought me on the show if you want to argue that you lack the moral understanding that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary harm on somebody else. What did you want me to say by inviting me on the show?
I wanted to hear your views, and I think your views are important.
You've heard my
views. I have.
And you're in agreement with them.
No, I'm not in agreement with your views at all.
You're in agreement with all the intersectional issues that I've brought up, including the problems related to our use of other animals, the environment, the human health issues, the world hunger issue. So, you know, where's your problem? Just the fact that you think it's acceptable to unnecessarily harm and kill other animals.
I think it is acceptable for the food chain that has existed on this planet since life began to continue.
I think it is acceptable for omnivores to eat. All right, so Ciara, you know, it's very important. Veganism is a fact-based moral conviction.
Yeah, but moral, do you see,
sorry,
you keep coming back to it.
Me. Stop interrupting me or I will put the phone down.
You're welcome to do so.
10,000 years ago, we domesticated and started eating other animals. We have now progressed to 7 billion humans kill 70 billion land animals every year to use simply as food,
mm-hmm.
and trillions of fishes. That doesn't make any sense at all. 50,000 years ago, we began hunting.
Okay.
And we've been evolving for a long time before that.
Okay.
We didn't eat other animals since time began. That is inaccurate.
But that's
shows
irrelevant.
That you believe a myth rather than fact.
Well, actually, we as soon as we were able to find tools that allowed us to hunt, and as soon as our consciousness gained language and gained intellectual superiority, that's exactly what we did. And that's exactly what people will do. And whilst I accept the arguments, as I said, around climate change and around health, I do not accept that people who work in the food industry that results in the domestication of animals or the slaughtering of animals for food are psychologically unsound or sadistic, or that there's anything wrong with it from a moral point of view. I don't accept it.
It's not about the people who work in the food industry. It's about all of us who are handing over our money for death and pain unnecessarily when there's no need to do. Why would you harm somebody when there's no need? Would you come down here and hit me for no reason?
I certainly would not, because that would be assault.
Why would you not? If you came down here and you met one of the cats or dogs who lives here, would you hit them or kick them for no reason?
No, I don't think I would hit, because I think you're confusing slaughtering for food with sadism.
What is the difference between them and a cow?
All sorts of differences, Sandra. But anyway, look, I think we will leave.
Explain the differences to me, please.
Because for me, cows are part of our
in
food.
In other countries, dogs are part of the food chain.
Yeah, and I don't feel badly about that either. I think in other countries they can do as they choose. And if you're in China and the most common form of meat is dog, so be it.
Well, you know, murderers also feel that they can do as they choose. People who abuse children feel that they can do as they choose.
Don't put meat eaters in the same bracket, Sandra, as people who abuse children or people who murder.
It's unnecessary abuse.
The hyperbole of that is nonsense.
Regardless of the consequences
nonsense.
For others who
All right.
feel.
Look, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. That is Sandra Higgins, director of the Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary and creator of the world's largest vegan advertising campaign. We do have some calls on this. I think we've somebody on the line waiting to speak to us now. Neil, how are you?
How are you doing, Ciara? Apologies, I'm in a very good mood because I just had some chicken that was killed by a psycho farmer. I'm a little bit less angry than Sandra there, so I do apologise.
Well, putting Sandra aside for one moment, how do you feel about the argument that we're all going to give up meat and it's a moral position to have?
My morals are my morals. Like you said, her morals are her morals. I think Sandra is the stereotypical vegan person who, when you disagree, you get what you got. You know, you're a murderer. Comparing it to all sorts of crazy stuff, you know. Apparently, all farmers are psychos, all that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, each to their own. I don't want to go at Sandra, but your position is: do you accept that we don't necessarily need to eat meat, or that you know that we could choose to? One of my feelings is that the animals will become extinct, and I'm not sure that they'd be any better off. But do you think that we are moving towards veganism as a pervasive cultural shift?
No, I don't think so. I think I do think that there is a stigma attached to veganism and all that sort of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Vegans are walking around wearing leather shoes, you know?
I'd say vegans probably aren't, but a lot of vegetarians are. But
maybe it's the Donnybrook vegans. I'm not too sure, but you know what I mean. Like, there's the people who are following this movement are not doing themselves a lot of favors at the moment in the way they react to people questioning what they're doing. We are humans. We have a beautiful thing where we are able to eat whatever we want to eat. You know, that's the way it's always been. That's the way it will be. As long as you don't, you know, eat too much of one thing, you're going to be all right. Life is simple, you know. We don't have to get angry about what we eat or compare, you know, people who eat meat to murderers, you know what I mean?
Yes, well, I think that was probably said in the heat of feeling very passionate about it. I think obviously Sandra feels very strongly about veganism.
Oh, yeah, and that's a beautiful thing, but a conversation is the way to go, not kind of, you know, drastic, crazy comparisons of, you know, kids who kill dogs are going to be psychopaths, you know, and they're the same as meat eaters.
Yes.
It's the way it's supposed to go.
I suppose what it is if you're somebody who feels that passionately about it. Anyway, look, thank you for that, Neil. And I'm with you. I'll probably have some nice chicken later on this evening myself. But anyway, Harold, another one of our listeners is on the line. Harold, what do you make of all the talk of veganism?
Certainly it was an interesting conversation. I just caught the end of the conversation you had there with Sandra because I'm feeding my cows here at the moment. I'm a dairy farmer down in West Cork. And it's very interesting actually to hear the sheer anger she has. And if you talk about morals and you think back to, well, if you want to look at it in biblical terms and Jesus asking us, you know, what is the story in terms of, what is a human declaring unclean, you know, when I haven't declared it unclean, if you want to look at it on the moral side. On a purely practical thing, it's fascinating looking at it from the point of view of the amount of money that is actually available to this particular vegan campaign that Sandra is running.
Mm-hmm.
And I tie it in very much as well with the amount of money that, like, you know, you hear these stories about fake meat and fake dairy and all these things that are being talked about. An awful lot of that is people with big bucks, you know, big money to invest, interested in technology, and they're using this story then of the veganism as a way of actually trying to sell their product as being, you know, more ethical than farming. And as you rightly stated yourself, look, you know, farming is something we've been doing for generations and generations, how many centuries. I look back to my own farm here. There's a ring fort just on the edge of the cliffs. You know, it
sounds lovely.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, it was fairly wild the last couple of days, but you know, the way that human society has developed, where, you know, we were originally in small little homesteads scatter around the whole place, and now we have, you know, big urban centres. The only reason we have big urban centres is that you have farmers willing to actually do their job, and you have people in an urban centre willing to do the office work and do the manufacturing and so on. And it's all working together, and that's the way that, depending on the type of land we have, the type of climate we have, might end up suitable for growing grass and keeping cows on.
Thank you for that, Harold, and I would imagine lots of farmers around the country are very caring and all that to their animals and all that kind of stuff too. Do keep the texts coming in. I'll catch some of the texts after this because there are lots of them.